lead pastor here at First Open Bible. Glad that you're here this morning. This is one of my favorite mornings of all, Pentecost Sunday. Amen? One of the lines we sang in one of the songs we were singing really touched me, and I want to minister to somebody in here today through that line, because it's not only something we sang, but it's biblically and theologically correct. And so you've got to be careful what kind of songs you listen to, amen, what kind of songs you sing. If it doesn't line up to the Word of God and it's just pretty words, what is it? Right? A lot of times, you know, some of you might ask, why don't we sing that song in church? Because it's theologically incorrect, that's why. We don't sing things that don't line up to the Word of God. We want to say things that honor Jesus and honor the Word of God. But one of the lines that we were singing and saying is, Jesus lives so death may die. Jesus lives so death may die. In here today, if you have a terminal disease, cancer, sickness, or some sort of form of thing the doctor told you that no matter what, you will have this the rest of your life. Maybe it's mental. Maybe it's something else in your life. Maybe you clinically have been spoke about that you're clinically depressed, you're clinically bipolar, you're clinically have cancer, you clinically have ADHD, or whatever it is that the doctor, if that's you today, stand up boldly right now in Jesus' name. Stand up. Stand up. Amen. Stand up. I'm going to speak to that. Speak to that. Speak to that. Right? I'm going to ask you to do something. Okay? I'm going to ask you to do something. The international sign of surrender is double hands up. No matter where you're at, this is where you surrender to the power of God. Right now, if that's you today, and you've been clinically spoke about for something that's in your life, just raise it like you need something from God. I'm going to speak these words. I'm going to pray over you, and we're going to get to preaching. Amen? Right now, by the power and by the blood of Jesus, Jesus lives, so death may die. Whatever it is that is on your body, on your life, on your mind, be broken. That curse is broken by a risen Savior. And right now, it is done by the blood and by the power of Jesus that is broken. You will not live like that anymore. Watch what comes out of your mouth, because God wants you to speak life to that situation. Right now, by the power of Jesus, it's done right now. You are free, and God's word says you are free indeed. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. In Jesus' mighty name, God's church agreed by saying, amen, 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 amen. Live that, church, live it. I'm going to get a little closer. Amen. Woo. I'm ready to preach this morning. My wife leaned over and said, man, you feel that? The presence of God is here. You can feel the expectation. I don't know what you came in with this morning. I don't know how much you expected, but today is Pentecost Sunday. So for Pentecostals and Charismatics, this is awesome. And I don't care if you're Catholic. I don't care if you're Methodist. I don't care if you're Baptist. I don't care if you're any kind of evangelical Christian or a Catholic. No matter what, today is the birthday of the church. Amen? So I want to say this to you. Happy birthday, church. Happy birthday. Mm, happy birthday. Mm, one of those little rolly things, right? Mm, hallelujah. Yay. In the Spirit of God. Today's a special Sunday. It's Pentecost Sunday. I'm going to teach on what that means. I'm going to teach what we should be doing and believing in. And then we're going to have an opportunity to live it. Amen? Can you believe it's been 7 weeks since we celebrated Easter together? 7 weeks ago was Easter. I don't know about you, it feels a lot longer than that to me. 7 weeks ago. Pentecost Sunday is also known as the birthday of the church. Turn to your neighbor and say, happy birthday, church. See, 2,000 years ago, 120 followers of Jesus were praying together in the upper room. While praying together, they all received power from on high, the Holy Spirit. And after that event took place, the world changed forever. This month's theme at First Open Bible is Somebody knows it. Come on, Leslie, say it. Say it like you mean it, girl.
Together.
Together. All y'all need to get together on that. Second week of the month. This month's theme is together. If you don't know what the theme is, you just take your bulletin, you flip it over, and you go, oh, snap, it's right there in my face. This month's theme at First Open Bible is together. The last couple months, God has been really working on my heart. God has been speaking to me about how he is mobilizing the church all over the world right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is asking followers of Jesus, how are we going to put action to our words? Nobody cares what you profess till you do something about it. Nobody cares, right? Nobody cares that you say you love them until you show them. It's just words. How will we profess our faith? By being the hands and the feet of God. I got an answer today, church. I know how. I know how. It's by the power and by the leading of the Holy Ghost. That's how. Galatians 5:25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I grew up in a Methodist church, and they, Pentecost Sunday, I didn't know anything about it. I was taught growing up in the United Methodist Church that this died out with the first age of believers. Actually, they taught, the theology that I was taught when I was young is that it died out with the apostolic age, which means the 120 that were in the upper room and the disciples that were there, all 11 because one killed himself, but all the 11 and the disciples and anybody else who was coming there, 120 of them were there, but then the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit died out with that. I'm here to tell you that that's not theologically correct. I'm here to teach today that that theologically is not correct at all. And there are places all over the world, and I believe even in America right now, that the Spirit of the living God still does signs, wonders, and miracles. People still speak with tongues, the evidence of tongues, prophesying. All nine of the gifts are still being evident. There are still opportunities for us to walk out what God has called us to. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he said, I will send another, an advocate, a helper, somebody to live with you forever, and by the power of him, the Holy Ghost, you will live a life and life to the fullest in the way that you are supposed to. Happy birthday to you. I'm leaving and sending another until I come again. That's what Jesus said. Amen. I believe in the Bible. But most of all, see, lots of people believe in the Bible, but not everybody believes in the whole Bible. Right? Did you know there's a thing right now saying, well, there's conservative Christians and liberal Christians. Liberal Christians mean, to me, personally, that I pick and choose what I want. Too many Mr. Potato Heads out there saying, I want a little bit of Jesus here, here's my eye. I want a little bit of Buddha over here, here's my ear. I want a little bit of Krishna over here, here's my mouth. I want a little bit of the world, here's my other eye. And they got this Mr. Potato Head that looks like he's all messed up and he doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know what he's seeing because he's not pure in what he believes. You got to stand on something or you'll stand on anything or stand on nothing. And God says that that's shaky ground. God's been speaking to me about how he's mobilizing the church. Mark Batterson, he's a pastor and an author, and this is what he said. Quote, Jesus at Bethlehem is God with us. At Calvary, he's God for us. And at Pentecost, he's God in us. End quote. Spirit of God is mentioned over 800 times. Say 800, church. The Spirit of God is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible, and the very first time it's ever spoke about is in the second verse of the entire Bible. Why don't we talk about it more often? So you see all over the world, health, right? Physical health, mental health. We talk about it all the time. But when are we going to talk about spiritual health? Let me tell you, today is a day of spiritual health, right? We're going to get healthy in Jesus. We're going to get healthy in a theologically correct word. We're going to get healthy into what we should believe and how we should live. Don't just get emphasis on your body and your mind if you're going to forget the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, or if you're from the South or you're old school, the Holy Ghost, right? I like saying that. Something's the Holy Ghost. You're like, woo! Just kind of want to do a little dance. Woo! Come on. The Holy Ghost. Or the Spirit of God. They're all the same, just different names. It's the third person of the Trinity. The triune God is manifested as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three become one. The Holy Spirit is God in you and the God in the earth today. It's very important that we teach on the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays of all. Pentecost Sunday is always 7 weeks after Passover weekend, also known as Easter weekend. Do you remember what the first Passover was? What kind of blood? The blood of a what? A lamb. They cut a lamb and they put it over their doorpost so that way the spirit of death would not come over to their house and kill their firstborn. And what? Why was the reason for that? Who was the leader of that? Remember? Moses. And this was the last and final straw that set my people free. Let my people go. That's the first Passover, and it took the blood of a lamb. And then guess what happened? The second Passover was Jesus on the cross, the blood of the lamb. Amen? So this is 7 weeks after Passover, also known as Easter weekend. The Greek word for Pentecost is literally 50. That's why it's 50 days. The resurrection of Jesus showed himself to disciples and many other followers for 40 days after he was raised from the dead on Easter. That grave is empty, church. So for 40 days before he ascended to heaven, after he was raised from the dead on that Easter, he showed himself to hundreds of his followers. And Jesus said this to his followers in Luke chapter 24, verse 49 in the NLT. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Approximately 10 days after Jesus ascended to heaven, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened to the 120 that were together in the upper room. But did you know he spoke at that moment? He spoke to 500. Around 500 people were told to stay for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit by Jesus, but only 120 remained. And we're shocked that people fall out of church. Jesus himself said it. What kind of ratio is that? What kind of percentage is 120 out of 500? Somebody look that up for me real quick. 28, somebody said, 28%? 22%. 22% of people stayed when Jesus said, stay here for days until the Holy Spirit comes. Remember a few weeks ago I preached on the remnant. There's even a remnant when Jesus was speaking. 10 days later when the Holy Spirit came, I'm going to read it in Acts chapter 2, the first four verses. That's the main section we're going to read. I'm going to read all over the place so that way we know exactly what the word says about Pentecost Sunday. Acts 2 verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read it in the NIV. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together, say together, in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing, a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So what happened to 380? We don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we do know they didn't obey Jesus' command to stay until God did something miraculous. They must have had something better to do. Church, don't get in a hurry to leave. Don't get in a hurry to leave in God's presence. I know there's stuff that happens on Sundays, but sometimes this is more important, right? But my kid, you know, he's in this thing or that, or I got to get to this. Don't want to miss out. See, patience is a big part of God's process. But we get in a hurry. We fill our lives up in America. If we're not busy, we feel like we're slobs, or we feel like we got something wrong with us, or we feel like we're lazy. There's something that's been taught in America that if you don't fill your schedule up, you are not being productive. But even God himself rested for an entire day. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry. Patience is a big part of God's process. So church, I want to ask you a couple questions. Who will be obedient? Who will stay? Who will contend for the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last days? Today, many Christians are missing out because they have not waited upon the Lord to receive the promised power of the Holy Spirit. Together, the 120 faithful followers listened to Jesus by obeying his commandment. They desired the promise. They desired the power of the presence of God. I'm just going to stop here and I just want to say something. If all you want is the power of God and not the presence of God or the face of God and understanding, guess what? You're going to end up like Simon the sorcerer. And he was rebuked. And he was called evil. We have to be careful as Pentecostals that we don't just desire the power walking around like we're some spiritual superhero. There's only one spiritual superhero. His name was Jesus. And he can't die. There ain't no kryptonite for that guy. But we have to be careful we don't just desire the power, but we have to be careful that we do desire the power, if that makes sense. It's all together. His presence comes with power. And if all you want is his power and not his leading, you don't deserve it. You won't know what to do with it, and you'll end up hurting the church instead of blessing it. In the New Testament, have you noticed this before? Miracles, signs, and wonders that we read about came through the faith and through the hands and the obedience of Spirit-filled followers of God. Spirit-filled. That is who they came through. Isn't that incredible? Read it in the New Testament. Tell me one guy that did something without being filled in the Holy Spirit that was supernatural. See, I know there's a great outpouring of the Spirit and of God and it's coming soon. One person believes that with me. It's Miss Kay. Come on up here. You can preach with me, girl. You are tan. Right? All my Caucasian friends, all summer we are pasty white and the sun comes out and we just say, I'm sleeping outside. I'm sleeping outside. And then all of a sudden we get a little color on us, right? Miss K, bless the pool, amen. Oh, the sun is here. Praise God. The Spirit of God is going to pour out in the last days. We're promised that. The Old Testament prophet, it's also preached about in the book of Acts. It's going to pour out his Spirit. You're going to prophesy. Signs, wonders, and miracles. They're not going to happen to your neighbor, okay? Look next to the person. It's not going to happen to that person. It's going to happen to you if you're obedient and you yield to the power and the presence of God. That's who it's going to happen through. You're going to have visions. You're going to have dreams. It says that God's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. May the Spirit of the living God fill us all. Ephesians 5:18 in the NLT says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Man, is that plain as day. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sounds like a good t-shirt. I mean, we got to say that more often. Because in America, so many people full of wine and, you know, 100 proof, malt liquor, whatever, right? Jaeger bombs, whatever. But it says don't be drunk with wine, alcohol, because that's going to ruin your life. I don't know one drunk that says my life is amazing. But I know lots of spirit-filled believers that said, I live in the overflow. Bible's so smart. It's like it was inspired or something. If you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will receive a greater degree of God's manifest presence in your life. What does that mean? There'll be evidence that you are not just from here. So immediately after the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened in the upper room, the Apostle Peter, anointed by the Holy presence of God, he in Acts chapter 2, you see he walked down, he preached an anointed and a bold message that it was just incredible. And in that message, over 3,000 people came to Jesus Christ and prophesied or spoke out of their mouth and believed that he was Messiah, the one that came. Jesus, the risen Lord. 3,000 in one sermon immediately after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I love this. Peter could not do that on his own. Why do we know that? The Bible teaches us exactly what Peter does on his own. People losing ears because of Peter on his own. Right? How would you say, speak to my good ear that exists? Peter cut that one off, right? See, Peter, the Bible teaches us that he denied Jesus on his own 3 times. Then he ran, and then he went back to his old way of living during the crucifixion. That's what Peter does on his own. Well, that's until he met the resurrected Jesus. The disciples were changed forever when Jesus blew on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John 20, verses 19 and 20, 19, 20, 21, and 22 in NIV says this: "On the evening of that first day of the week, there, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Verse 21, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Verse 22, and with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's interesting, isn't it? We all do things like Peter does when we're alone. But we do things like the 120 in the upper room when we're together, led by the Holy Spirit. Catch that, church. Who here wants to be used by God? Say hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says this in the New King James. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard me say, for John,'" that's John the Baptist, "'has truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" I want to ask you a question. Why do you think Jesus commanded his disciples to wait for the infilling of the Holy Spirit before moving forward and doing anything for the kingdom of God? Why did Jesus say, "Stay here, wait for the promise before you go anywhere and do anything"? Because they wouldn't have the power of Jesus. They wouldn't be equipped. Anything else? Any other ideas? They'd be going out in their own strength. Anyone else? See who was obedient? Very good. Anyone else? Crowd participation right now. We're together, amen? I don't know how many there is. There's probably maybe a little bit over 120 in here right now. Probably more like 200-ish. Be able to heal like Jesus did? Here's the reason, unity. Here's the reason Jesus commanded his disciples to wait for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I believe. It's because Jesus knew the capacity of human reason. Jesus knew the capacity of the human flesh. Remember, he walked with 12 guys for 3 to 3.5 years, and one turned his back and then killed himself. One denied him, and all of them scattered. Jesus knew a crooked heart. God's word says our heart is evil. Who even knows it? Jesus knew our sinful bad habits. Everything you said, I believe, is correct. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit is essential, and it is vital to our mission in Christ. It is the power to do something outside of yourself. It is the only power to do something outside of your sinful nature. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is what every believer needs so we can fulfill the promise of the Great Commission that we are called to. He said, wait, because we need him. Because if we don't, we do it in our own power. And in our own power, it is not of God, it's of us. And if it's of us, we're no different than the world. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are set apart holy. You are separated, consecrated. You are led by the Spirit of God and not by your flesh. And when you're led by the Spirit of God, things will happen. Things happen, and the presence of God will be glorified and not you and yourself. Some of you here might be asking this question. Is there a difference between being saved and baptized in water and being baptized in the Holy Spirit? The answer is absolutely 100% yes. After Pentecost, the gospel of Jesus spread throughout the land. There's a people group, and they were called the Samaritans because they lived in Samaria. And they already received Jesus, and they received water baptism, but they have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. Let's read it in Acts chapter 8, verses 14, 15, and 16. And the NIV says this. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria, right? We need you, right? Walter, where are you at? Aquí? Aquí, here, Espanol. Right? We have to send people places by the power and the anointing of God. We believe that Walter, Virginia are to be sent soon and very soon to people that we can't even touch. Maybe the Samaritans, maybe the Latinos, maybe the Caucasians, whoever is loco for Jesus Cristo. Loco for Jesus Christ. Loco is crazy. I said Spanish again. Verse 15 in Acts chapter 8. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So verse 17, then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. You see the separation? You see the difference? You see the importance? You see what the Bible teaches? See, Peter and John prayed for them and laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This came after salvation in the name of Jesus. See, it's one thing to be saved and to be born again in Jesus' name. And it's a whole other thing when you're endued with power from on high, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Don't get me wrong, Jesus holds the keys to our freedom. But the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the power to kick open that jail. Bam! Wide open. Jesus unlocks it, and the Holy Ghost kicks it open. Check this out. As I was studying in my New King James Spirit-Filled Life Bible this week, God led me to this comparison. I've never seen it before. I mean, I've seen it, but I've never understood it like this. See, Jesus is talking to a woman at the well. We've heard sermons about this before, remember? In the middle of the day, a man's talking to a woman, let alone a Jew talking to somebody who's of mixed race. You don't do that. First off, a man doesn't talk to a woman unless you're married, and you don't do it out in public. And then a Jew doesn't talk to somebody from this place anyway. So Jesus is talking to this woman at the well about eternal life and salvation. We're going to read it in John 4, 10 through 14 in the New King James Version. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that shall I give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." See, these verses refer to the illustration of regeneration into eternal life. This fountain of water is describing salvation in Jesus. Let's go three more chapters. In John 7, verses 37, 38, and 39, Jesus is talking again about water. New King James says this, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart flows rivers of living water.'" Verse 39, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." See, John 4 that we read first shows us that those who are satisfied by Jesus themselves will be channels of spiritual refreshment to others, like a fountain that refreshes others, or like a well that will refresh others because of salvation. But a few chapters later, Jesus compares water sources. The figure of rivers in John 7 contrasts with a fountain in John 4. Jesus was illustrating the difference between one's new birth salvation, the fountain, and one's experience of the overflowing fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water. And we read when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, in verse 4, it talks about being filled, that everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. That word filled in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the word there is used is satiated, to be fully satisfied, or the other definition is this, and I love it, to supply to excess. I got a little more than I need. Amen. That's why sometimes in worship, you just got to give God a little more than what you're used to. That's why when you get in the presence of God, you got to give him a little bit more than you have, because something in you is overflowing to excess. God fills you for a purpose. That's to be emptied. God doesn't run out. Just like Jesus said, "I don't run out of this water. The water I provide never runs out." And then when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not only does it not run out, but it'll be like a river coming from you. Think of it this way. God just gave me this illustration. It's like a fire hose on a fire truck, right? Let's say the nozzle is closed, but the fire truck is hooked up and they're cranking it and it's full. That hose is full of water, ready to go. Jesus fills you just like a fire hose is full of water ready to be used. But the water doesn't burst forth until you open the nozzle up and that powerful water comes out like a river. That's just like when Jesus opens you up to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's like a river that opens up that nozzle and just comes right from you. Amen? So the Holy Spirit, he is in us. And he's in us for divine relationships. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says this, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" Can I stop there for a moment? What you put in your body matters. It is not yours anyway. Take care of it. Don't mark it up with things that don't glorify God. Don't put things in it that doesn't glorify God. Don't look at things that don't glorify God. It says eyes are the gateway to your soul. You wonder why you're in such bondage. It's because your body isn't consecrated and set apart to God. Of course you're bound, right? 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? See, in life, there's deeper levels of relationship. I have a deeper relationship with my wife than anybody in here. I might have a deeper relationship with Pastor Cody than most people in here as well. Work every day with him. We minister together. Or my sister. In life, there's deeper levels of relationships, just like there's deeper levels of the Holy Spirit in your life. I want to talk to you very fast about three levels of the Spirit of God in your life. The first level is this: when you accept Jesus and you're now saved. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you and makes you a new creation. I'm born again. I'm made brand new. All things are now new in me. That's the Spirit within. That's the fountain that Jesus was talking about to that woman at the well. And level two, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit upon. That's where the river is set in place. Ready to go. Ready to go. And level three, it's living in the Spirit. So you can get filled in the Spirit, but then you walk out into the world and you have a river in you, but you don't yield to the river flowing out of you. Right? You can get all you want on a Sunday morning, but what matters is what you do on a Sunday night or a Monday morning. It's like sharpening your sword and then just leaving it in the sheath. Level three, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, that Spirit continuous. That's the rivers of living water coming from you, like a mighty river. See, there's too many Christians that are living just like everyone else on earth. I know I say this, but truly think about it. If Jesus was here this morning, standing right here, right now, if he was right here and his presence was right here, would he be satisfied with the way that you are living and by the power that you're living under? Would he be satisfied with it? Because let me tell you, the presence of God is here. And are you living by the power of it? Too many Christians acting like everybody else. They're falling into the same sins. They're gripped with the same fear and doubt. They are living a life of defeat instead of fulfillment and spiritual abundance. There's evidence of more worry in their life than there is victory in their life. This is not okay. Jesus didn't die so you could live like that. Satan is still around. That's why you live like that. And you haven't crucified your flesh yet. The reason why so many Christians live like this is because they're not living under the power and the fullness and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why. So who is it for, Pastor Harris? That's great. Wonderful. You preached some good stuff. Thanks for the theology. But didn't it all end with 120 followers in the upper room when they died? Didn't it all end there? Isn't it only the promise of the Holy Spirit only for the Jews? Acts 2:38-39 says this. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your own sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." It always starts with Jesus. It always starts with the cross and the empty tomb. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember, level one, Spirit within. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. I love this. So I looked up those three Those three words, those far away. Guess what it talks about? It talks about people off in far away lands. And it also talks about people far off in the future. And who does it include? A Gentile. If you ain't 100% Jewish, you are a Gentile or you're a mixed race. That's me today. That's pretty much all of us today. So I'm thankful that right then Peter replied to them that this promise of the Holy Spirit is for people in the future, including the Gentiles. It is for us, every believer, everywhere, in every era, until he comes again. So together we can expect the same experience and the power that was given to the 120 believers who received the Holy Spirit that Pentecost morning in the upper room. Why don't we flow in that? Is it because we think we're not as holy as those 120? Maybe you need to read your Bible again. The heroes we read about, they were absolutely misfits. Weren't they? If they were Rudolph's friends, they'd be on that island of misfit toys. Misfits. Mess-ups. Problem kids. Right? Remember that guy that was so afraid in the Old Testament that he hid into a barrel? But what's his name? Get up, man of valor! Say it if you know who it is. Do you realize that's the God we serve? This guy runs and hides from armies in a barrel. And he says, come out, man of valor. Saying that to you right now. Man or woman of valor, of power and of strength and of freedom, get out of that barrel. Fight! But I don't have the strength. Yeah. That's why I sent the Holy Ghost. You don't think I knew that? I created you in your mother's womb. I know every hair on your head. I know every insecurity. I know all your problems. I know what you just said before you came to church this morning. I know what you looked at last night. I know what you said to that person. I know the thought that you had to that person three aisles over. Get out, man, a woman of valor. Woo, by the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, lives in you. Lives in you. So how do you receive the Holy Ghost? Number one, you yield to it by faith. You yield to it by faith. Number two, you have to ask for it in faith. It's a gift. It's just like salvation. You must ask the Father in heaven for it. If you ask Jesus Christ into your life, you realize it's a gift. There ain't nothing you did for it. Just like the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Spirit in your life, it's a gift. You have to ask God for it. Number three, laying on of hands. Not always does this happen, but we see in God's word that this is a common principle, a common practice that we see in the Bible. Acts 19:6 in NIV says, when Paul placed hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. See, when the Spirit of God is present, there is evidence. As I close, I'm going to explain what happens when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Through the book of Acts, the infilling of the Spirit was typically followed by an outward manifestation, and it can be seen and it can be heard. The most common ones listed in the Bible is speaking with other tongues and or prophesying. What is prophecy? Speaking to your situation that you're at right now and speaking it as though if God was talking, not the world. I'm speaking edification, building up. I'm encouraging. I'm saying that this is what's going to happen because that's what God wants. Not necessarily your circumstances, but the freedom of God spoken from your mouth. The gift of tongues is a vital aspect in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I just want to say this because I know y'all thinking it. It is weird. Your pastor just said speaking in tongues is weird. It is in your flesh. I was raised and taught that that's of the devil. Tell me in the Bible where that ever says that's from the devil. You're telling me that Jesus said, wait 10 more days to receive something from the devil? That's heresy. They taught me heresy because they don't understand it and they don't get it. Just because you don't understand it or you don't get it doesn't mean you make fun of it or put a different kind of religion to it. That's a religious heresy. The Word of God doesn't teach that. The Word of God teaches that in the last days He's going to pour out His Spirit and we're going to see things that manifest. And Jesus Christ said, wait. Wait for the promise of God. And 500 were there and 120 really wanted it. 380 left because they didn't either believe it, or they had better things to do, or they weren't obedient. But God blesses the obedient. The gift of tongues is vital. It's vital, and it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. There's two different things. Jim gave a tongue and before an interpretation. The reason why I had him hold is because there's order to God's house, and I was praying, and so he had to wait and then do it. But he has the gift of tongues. He's come to me, his pastor, and we've talked about it before, and there's green lights. I can't let anybody just come into the church and just spout off in a situation like this. See, this is a corporate worship, and there's order to corporate worship. And I'm, as the head, to listen to the Spirit of God and make sure that order is there, but also the freedom is there. So not anybody just comes up. If you feel like you have a gift of the Spirit in your life, come and talk to me. We're going to pray about it, and I'm going to ask the Lord when the right time is ready. But everybody can have the gift of tongues personally. Rick can have the gift of tongues personally praying to God, and that's his spiritual language. It's almost like a code that no one else will know. No devil, no demon, nothing. Not even your flesh knows exactly what you're doing. And it says in God's word, it groans in you. And I'm talking to God, and whatever it is that's going on, I'm praying for all these people and even myself, and I'm praying with tongues. And I don't get it physically because it's weird, but spiritually it's correct, it's theological, and it's the way that I talk to God perfectly. Okay, but in a corporate setting, that's a whole different ball game. If you read in God's word that there's two different tongues, and the nine gifts of the tongues, there's the tongue in a corporate setting, what Jim did. Now, Jim's probably prayed in tongues today quietly to himself. Now, here's another thing. If somebody gives tongues in a church, and there's somebody that's not saved in here, and there's no interpretation, that causes confusion. And whoever gave that tongue and didn't listen to God, whoever gave that tongue and there was not interpretation, didn't listen to God, they've caused confusion to that non-believer, and that's on them. That's on them. That's in God's word. And guess what you're supposed to do? If you give a tongue and you don't see an interpreter or listen to God, you better interpret that, or you caused some sort of confusion in God's house. And God doesn't like confusion. He likes order. Amen? Just teaching a little bit this morning. Tongues, interpretation is equal to prophecy. We don't always have to have a tongue and interpretation. Somebody can prophesy, remember, green-lighted, come and talk to the pastor. Don't just be spouting off what God is saying. Come and talk to me, because I need to. Here's the thing that's confusing. You cannot get up in a corporate worship setting and spit out things in God, but the river that flows in you is dirty. What do I mean by that? You go home and you cuss up a storm, but you can give a tongue interpretation at church. That's flowing from two different veins. And what you did is you just spit out. I'm not saying everybody's perfect. This pastor's preaching right now, and I'm not perfect. But I got to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if your life isn't lined up, and you say, I have a gift, and I know that your life's not lined up, you need to hold that gift until you get set apart and set right with God. And then we'll come and talk, and then you can give it. Because this is the flock that I'm in charge of. And I don't want you to confuse them or spit things that are not all the way from God. They're also from your flesh or even the enemy. Amen? Is this on here? I don't know. I just want to teach that for a moment. Amen? But we believe in the gifts of the Spirit here as long as they edify God and they glorify Him. If they're glorifying a human being and you think it's your job or you think it's whatever, that's not of God, that's of you. Right? We want to glorify God in all things. That's why we let it be free. Amen? We've got to let it be free. The gift of tongues is vital. We are made of three things: spirit, soul, and body. Right? Any Christian, this is how you say it: spirit, soul, and body. That's in the right line. A lot of people say body, spirit, soul. When I'm born again, my spirit's number one. It was dead, but now it's alive. Spirit, soul, and body. How you speak in your normal language is the language of your mind or your body. But how you speak in tongues is the language of your spirit. Spiritual tongues is beautiful, and it's an intimate part of our relationship with God. I want to make it clear again, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is essential and vital to our mission in Christ. It is the power to do something outside of ourselves. Worship team, can we come up, please? So as we close, I want to ask you a question that the Apostle Paul asked a long time ago to several believers. It's in Acts chapter 19. Worship team, if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, forget about singing, forget about playing instruments. The only one that I need right now that really needs to play is Brent. And Brent, we'll pray for you later, man. Amen? It's more powerful, and it's more important that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not just playing instruments. So if God tells you to do that, you come up. Amen? I mean, the power was so thick this morning that I almost didn't even preach. I almost was out cold. If that ever happens, you just keep flowing. Church, just keep flowing, right? God obviously doesn't want to use me. He doesn't need me. I'm honored that he chooses to use me. Aren't you honored that God would choose you out of all people in the world? Honored. Who am I? That's what David said. Who am I that you'd be mindful of me, God? Not only that you're mindful of me, but you choose to instill the most precious gift, your spirit, in me. And then I want to act like I know what's best. Put it in me, God. May I honor you, because this life is not my own anymore. Use me, God. Use me. See, Apostle Paul said this a long time ago, and he asked some believers in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. It said, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus. Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. And this is what he asked in verse 2. I'm going to read the first section. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to provide an opportunity for you right now. Right now. Before we go. I don't know if you can rank Sundays of the importance, but you can definitely rank Sundays chronologically. You got Christmas number one. God was sent here for us. Die for us. There's a baby in a manger. And God noticed that we were separated from him. And he had to send his son to die for us. And if he didn't, we'd be eternally separated. But since he did, and if you choose him, it says in God's word, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're saved. So chronologically, the first Sunday that's the most important is Christmas Day. God came for us. Number two is this, Easter. He died on Good Friday, and he rose 3 days later on Sunday. And because he rose again, he is above all any other person or any other God or anybody who professes they were God, because they are still dead, but he is living. Living. And number three is this, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Pentecost Sunday. Third most important chronologically. Amen? Because Jesus ascended and said, till I come again, I'm sending you the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, to live in you, to empower you. In God's word, like I said before, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. Why? That's the important part. Why does he live there? Are you answering the why in your life? Or are you just getting along? I'm just happy to be saved. Guess what? Everybody around you is not happy, because they might not be saved. But the power of the Holy Ghost can say something beyond you, beyond you will ever say. So first, with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he hasn't set you free, and you haven't confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, if that's you today and you don't know him as Savior, raise your hand. I just want to agree with you. Just raise your hand. I got to see it. I want to see it. That's you today. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, I need this Jesus. I was separated for all of eternity, and you set your son, and all I have to do is receive him by my faith, and you will set me free forever. Thank you, God. That's you today, and you don't know him as Savior. Amen. So we have one of two things. We have all believers, or we have a few people that are soon to be believers. I believe God loves you, and you heard this message. All right. Every head up. Here it is, church. An opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One of two things the Bible teaches. It teaches that the initial infilling of the Spirit of God, the first time you were ever filled with God, there's going to be a manifestation. Something will happen. God's Word teaches that. You either speak with other tongues, or you'll prophesy, or something will happen to you physically. There's something that happens. If you've never done one of those two things and you want to do that today, I'm going to call you forward in just a moment. Here's another thing that's cool. As it teaches in God's Word, there's a time where somebody received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they already received it before, because there's a re-infilling. Maybe you walked away from God. Maybe you're not living in that third level where your spirit continuous, always living in the Spirit. But maybe you've received it at one point and you've fallen away, and that river isn't flowing. It's like a baby brook that's almost dried up. But God wants a river to come forth from you, and a living river coming out of your belly that's going to flow out. And God wants to refill that. There must be some big old rainfall coming. The outpouring of God comes in a river. What happens to everything around a river is it disintegrates. It just falls apart. So whatever's in your life, if you want that to change, maybe a river has got to come and wash it away. If you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, either for the first time or the 100th time or whatever it is, stand to your feet and come up here right now. Right now. Don't be afraid. Baptism. Don't be afraid. Boldness. Pastor Cody, can you put this up there, please? Come on up. Come on up. If you want to see the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost Sunday. Amen. If you want to receive the re-infilling of the Spirit of God, come on up. Another time. I need to get refilled. Come on. If you're not living in the overflow, you got to get it. What I'm seeing right now is everybody lives in the overflow. Everywhere you go, people rising up. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, get up and walk. That happens in your life? If that happens in your life, hallelujah. If it doesn't, get filled in the Holy Spirit. That's how, if your shadow ain't healing people, maybe you need to get filled up again. Amen? If you haven't submitted your life and yielded to God completely, you're still battling with that sickness or that disease, or you're still battling with that problem in your life. You're still smoking, you're still drinking, you're getting around or doing whatever that you're doing, or you have that thing that keeps coming out of your mouth all the time and you just can't purify it. Maybe you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Maybe that fire got to come and clean it. Amen. 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 Church, will you stand to your feet? We're going to go in a moment. You can go now if you need to, but I encourage you to pray for these ones that need the infilling. The power of the presence of God. Any of my elders or elder wives, will you come and stand behind them, please? So here it is again. Here's some oil right here. This is, in God's Word, this represents the presence of God. All I'm going to do is, I'm not going to push you. I'm just going to put my finger on you, on your head, and I'm just going to pray. Fill them, fill them, fill them, fill them, fill them. That's all I'm going to do. Fill them, fill them, fill them. And I'm just going to let God work. There's nothing special about me, but I see the principle in God's Word that it says lay hands on them and they will receive. That's why I want to be obedient to that. So if you want to receive, I want you to get into an atmosphere and an attitude of receiving right now. So if that's you today and you want to receive the baptism, Don't have your hands in your pockets or looking like you're kind of scared. Just say, God, I want whatever you have of me. I want to have whatever else that you have for me. Just put your hands out in an attitude of receive, right? In front of you, above you, whatever it is, just be ready to receive. You know what's cool about this? Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. Hallelujah. Pastor Sonny, will you lower the lights, please? Hallelujah. Will everybody in the line take a step forward, please? Take a step forward. I want to teach this, and then I'm going to pray for you. Sometimes people fall out in the Spirit of God, and you say, why is that? It's not because somebody pushed him. I want to remind you that when Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, and he was going to get, when he was going to get picked up by that big giant, there was actually a giant group of soldiers that came. They said, who is Jesus? He said, I am. And it said that all the soldiers fell down, because the presence of God can be that powerful at that moment that you cannot stand physically. That's why sometimes people fall out in the Spirit, because the presence of God is so powerful. I'm going to pray for them in church. Just worship. Brent, lead us into a song. Anybody on worship team, if you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, get off whatever you're doing and we'll be fine. Just keep flowing, okay? Amen? If you feel that God says, I need to get filled up again, I'm not living in that overflow. It's more important you're down here than up here. But if not, lead us in worship. Lead us.